Yeah. I stay away from North Dakota. They're all ruby up there.
I have
current geek.
Oh, hello everybody. Welcome back to Current Geek. This is Current Geek, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All-Stars, geeks of the world and you, to keep you current on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Tom Merritt. Hi, Tom.
Well, is that who I am? Thank goodness I have this show to remind me once a week when the brain falls asleep.
Yeah. Well,
I am a person.
You are. You're not only a person, you're a person of interest. Not an A.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I should probably not leave my house.
Yeah. You got your ankle bracelet on still? You haven't tried to?
It's a little tight. It's chafing. Okay.
All right. Some people try to take those off and think, well, if I just leave it in the kitchen, they'll never know. But then they're on to you because that thing never leaves the kitchen.
Right? And then they see the severed ankle and they're like, hold on.
Hold on a minute.
Who's running around without an ankle? It'll be easy to spot this guy.
This is bad news. Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. Glad to be back and joining us. We have two fabulous guests and it's a first for us. We have twins. We call them twin beards. We have with us a returning guest, Bill Duran. First of all, hello, Bill.
Hey-o.
Bill's an old friend of the program, been on the show before. He has brought along his brother, an educator, who I have great respect for. Rob Duran is here. Hi, hey-o. Rob. How's it going? Now, people at home can't tell the difference between you two. So how do you guys deal with that? What do you do in your life to make that go away?
Well, we don't usually deal with people only in audio.
Yeah.
So it's tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's usually... Now, one of you is a little more... how do I put this? Bill's a little more, has anyone seen my stink bag? And the brother's a little more, all right, open your textbooks to page 45. There's a little more energy, I think, to Rob's voice.
Yeah.
There's also mic. Thankfully, you've got two different mics, so there's a slight mic difference that people might be able to cotton to.
Oh, that's true. Because if you're watching the video version on YouTube or something, you'll be able to see them sitting there together, as brothers should. Hunched over, same posture.
Arm in arm.
I will note that Rob's beard is slightly longer than mine.
Oh, I see.
So
it's also getting gray in a place yours isn't quite yet.
Yeah,
this is the twin beard.
You got like a ruler on you at all times. You could measure both our beards and you would know.
That's perfect. Yeah. Well,
that's
now, when did you stop being conjoined?
Yeah.
Week and a half ago.
Yeah. So you want
really awkward for our wives.
Right. Because one got the left testicle, the other one got the right. Is that how it worked?
That they call that the shared scrotum.
Conjoined at the grundle.
You know what they say, the family that shares
stays or something.
Gross.
All right, well, here we are. We're going to do a show with you. We're really glad to be doing it, and we'll start with the top stuff of the night.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Tom, what's going on?
Hey, S. Snapier submitted something on the Current Geek subreddit, which if you didn't, you should feel ashamed. Mm. Actually, don't feel ashamed. You don't have to feel bad, but go check out currentgeek.reddit.com and do some submitting or at least do some voting. S. Snapier pointed us to How To Geek's brave test of what happens when you install the top 10 apps from download.com. They basically clicked through the experiment, accepting all default options. So they're like, yes to the terms of service, okay to the malware, whatever is being installed. They just said, if I'm a typical user, I'm just going to click through stuff. So let's see what happens. They've had a lot of bundled software, as you might imagine, because they didn't say no to anything. Lots of browser hijackers, which some people think are awful. Some people are like, you should just say no to those sorts of things. But two downloads, YTD Downloader and Free YouTube Downloader, were blocked by one of the other top 10 downloaders, Avast Antivirus. So that's not good.
What a weird idea. But I've actually kind of wondered since, download.com's heyday was a long time ago. And that would be a place you would go to get, I don't know, I'm trying to think what I would get there. It would be like weird little utilities and things that now we either don't need or they're found in more secure places or whatever. And I kind of forgot they were around. So that's kind of an awesome thing, except it's kind of a bad thing because obviously there's some issues here in the top 10.
This sounds like exactly like what our little brother and our dad both did with their computers.
That's the thing, right? Yeah, lots of people out there are just like, oh, download.com, that's trustworthy.
Right.
Yeah. Well, doesn't CNET still own it, or is that not a thing? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
My, My mother-in-law got something today because I got an email from the brand new laptop that I gave her that I mentioned I deleted everything. I deleted Windows stuff off of it. I got an email today like, stuff's broken. Immediately. All I did was install. I'm like, oh no.
But I went to download.com. That's where you go to download stuff.
Yeah, it used to be. It used to be a big deal. It kind of reminds me of, I want to say the last time I probably used it in any sort of meaningful way was back when I had like a Palm Pilot, because I want to say they had like a, they've got iOS and Android here. They used to have like a Palm Pilot category.
They did. Yep. I used to get Palm software off of there too.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So
I can tell you the last thing I downloaded off download.com, I believe, was a demo for Destruction Derby.
Yeah.
It was on dial-up.
Yep.
It was in the mid-90s.
There you go. Yeah.
Wow.
Great. So here's the solution to fixing this for your relatives across the country, though. Right, little brother. Remote in. Don't do it over the phone. Remote in. Fix it for them. Tell them not to touch their computer. And then leave a picture of a naked man as the background image.
Of course.
That's the way to. That's how I do it.
Okay.
Final step.
You know, I've got to do some stuff for my mom and her Mac. Maybe, maybe I'll take your advice.
Yeah,
we'll have to see.
Big old naked dude.
Yeah, why not? Price. Well, I'm not sure she'd. Well, yeah, she'd still recognize what that is. It'll be fine.
Oh,
that's not weird at all. But Steven Spielberg. I'd never want to see Steven Spielberg naked, but I would like to see more of his television projects, Tom.
Hey, yeah, BritJohn72 sent us the news that Amblin Television, that's Spielberg's gig, is developing a TV version of Minority Report for Fox. If you don't remember, Minority Report is the one starring Tom Cruise, based on the Philip K. Dick short story about precogs.
Do
see
I
crimes
ever.
Before they happen.
Love that movie. Yeah, it had puke sticks in it where you could poke a dude with a stick and he'd yak.
Yep, yak stick. Deadline Hollywood reports that the project is in the early stages of development, but Engadget says the series might take place 10 years after the film and focus on one of the precogs' attempts to adjust to normal life while also helping a detective solve crimes. It will be fueled by Dunaway's.
Yeah, see, this is a nice reference to FilmSack, where we probably had our most contentious episode ever about this movie. There was a lot of talk about symbolism and what the water in every scene meant and why there was so much rain. And I said it's because it's a film noir, and everyone else said, no, there's something else happening with the water. And it got real heated there on that episode, and still to this day, we can't quite get over it. And Dunaway is real upset about the idea of it coming to TV. However, I really like this other idea, this focus on a precog and their attempt to get back into real life and helping a detective either on the side or as some way of coping with their inability to shut off the...
I'm just a bald precog who lived in a hot tub my whole life. I don't know the ways of the world.
Yeah, and then yells, run, really loud right in your face.
They already did this story in TV format in Futurama.
That's true, they did.
Futurama Minority Report. It's spectacular.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is, I don't know, do you think this would hold up? Do you think this is, because a lot of people, they hear, this was a movie, now it's a TV show. If you don't at least try to recreate those characters from the movie and have some of that plot in there, that you're, you know, that it's not going to work, it's not going to go. There's certainly examples of that working. I mean, I guess MASH, the number one most important character in MASH was the war, right? If you didn't have the war, then you just had after MASH, and that was garbage. This seems like a thing where if you don't have Tom Cruise or you don't have your cop running from the law because now they think you've done it, spoiler. I don't know. Maybe this is the kind of movie that doesn't translate well. It's difficult for me to get my head around it. I suppose it just needs the right people.
I think the premise is strong enough, though. Just the whole fighting against what would be like a prophecy thing. You could make a procedural sort of episodic show around that.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the idea could be that the precog is not supposed to. It's no longer kosher for the precog to see the future. But on the sly, he helps a detective using his talents, or maybe even just the experience of having known so many crimes in the past. And then every time the detective runs out to the liquor store and says, what do you want? He yells, rum!
All right.
What was the show where the guy got the newspaper a day early?
Early edition. Yeah.
Basically, it's that, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of is, yeah. Now that you mention it.
Just go watch that.
It's like early edition and medium smushed together, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
Neither of which were all that great. But I think they ran back to back. Here's my final question about this. Vote. I want a vote. Do we think they'll have the little wooden balls that will predict either a murder of passion or a crime of, I can't remember what the other one was. It accident or whatever? Or what, the brown ball was like, it just would happen.
Well, they're not. He's off living, trying to adapt to real life, so they're not in the tub anymore.
But the. Oh, I guess so. If you don't have all three precogs, and everything goes to crap, is that the deal? I don't know.
Well, I don't think the precogs are allowed. They're like gone. There's no more precog tub.
If you want to do something weird,
everybody out of the pool.
Go read. go read. Sorry, my mind went 12 places. I wanted to say something, but I won't. Go read the Philip K. Dick original short story. It's nothing like this. It's nothing like it. And I wonder how much they may swing back to the original material because the movie is way different. Just like, well, a lot of Philip K. Dick stuff gets totally changed when it makes it to a film, especially the big ones. So, I don't know. Worth picking up, and I'm pretty sure you can get it on the super cheap on, you know, oh, look at you, Tom, with the actual book.
That's fantastic.
You said go read it.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've got mine right here. Look, I got a copy right here.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow,
it's, this is a book called Guns.
Guns. That's awesome. Did you get that for modeling and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot to mention this. Bill is a professional prop maker and modeler, and he does really rad stuff. So I could see a book called Guns in your house, but there are people I don't want to have a book called Guns in their house. You know, certain personalities, if you know what I mean. That's all I'm saying.
I'm right here, Scott. I'm right here.
You're in the same room. All right. Elon Musk is my favorite perfume, but it's also a guy who has stuff to say. What's going on?
Yeah, let's go from sci-fi to reality. Mike P. Kennedy let us know Elon Musk took to Twitter this week to announce the building of a Hyperloop test track for both companies and students, most likely to be built in Texas. He also mentioned the possibility of holding an annual student Hyperloop pod racer competition. And if you don't remember, the Hyperloop is the idea of taking this big car and basically like a pneumatic tube, sending it from Los Angeles to San Francisco in like an hour.
Oh, this was his. Okay. We actually talked about it on the show back when everybody was calling him a little bit crazy for coming up with an idea that he thought would replace mass transit, which was one of they were people tubes. And then this must be the next step in that. I thought he was just having a mind fart. I didn't know it was actually.
He put it out there and said, I'm just letting people know, like, here's the concept. Go for it. One group in California has been working on it, but they don't even have a prototype yet. So this seems to be his way to goose the project along. Like, all right, fine. I'll build a test track. And like, he's really trying to urge people along. He doesn't want to run the company himself, it sounds like. He just kind of wants to get the idea rolling.
So here's, okay, I got it. Bill Duran.
Yep.
Tubes himself to all the cons in his costume in real time. So it's
speaking like a Futurama. Yeah.
Totally, dude. Just imagine like, I don't know. What are you being lately? What is whatever your suit you're wearing right now, just fly that thing to Dragon Con or whatever. Fly it back. Oh, yeah. This would be a big boon for you.
I wouldn't have to change. That's right. The big thing.
Right. And the whole thing is supposed to be super fast. So that's pretty cool.
For me, it's the East West Coast thing because we like our whole family's on the East Coast. We live up in Seattle. I have conventions to go to. I PAX East, like all these Dragon Con. Mm-hmm. If I could just get to the East Coast super fast, then I would be really happy.
Yeah, because then you could just commute around from there and taxi and whatever. Yeah. But like two big hubs or three or four big hubs around the country that would take you to the major regional sort of points of interest that you could then travel around from there. That seems like it'd be pretty good. And Tom, the whole idea is that these are super high speed, right?
Yeah, 700 miles an hour. I think I said between San Francisco and LA in an hour, it's 35 minutes.
Good. Whoa. Lord. That's crazy.
I think what's more important than just having this transit idea, I think it's super important that you have this wicked rich guy who does make his brain farts into reality.
Yeah.
Like everyone's going to be sitting around drinking like, man, wouldn't it be cool if we had crazy rockets? And Elon Musk is like, oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just built one.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if electric cars were awesome? He's like, yeah, I made one too. And it's pretty much a spaceship on the ground.
Yeah. Yep. That's what basically it's what he's done already.
Like, yeah, he's the real life Tony Stark.
Yeah, we all want electric cars, but he actually made it work.
My notes are like, what if I made a new toy space gun, and the new one looked cooler than the old one?
Yeah, and then it just happens. What the heck?
Yeah. Even that's better than mine, which are, what if I started a podcast?
Right.
Do you guys follow the Bored Elon Musk Twitter account?
No.
That's hilarious.
It's really, really good.
Is that just how you spell it? Bored Elon Musk?
Yes.
All right. I'm on
He just tweets out ideas of a crazy rich man. Like, for example, an edible protective coating that you can spray on the roof of your mouth before eating Captain Crunch or other deliciously abrasive materials. Yeah. Or just the two words, snow Roomba.
Here's one. Broad sweeping statements as a service. Yeah, pretty good. It's pretty good. All right, I'm following him now. Thank you for
Heated
the
sock drawers?
Snow I want Roomba. That.
That's pretty good. Wasn't yeah. there somebody else had? Oh, it was the one for Lionhead Studios guy. Can't think of his name. All of a sudden, the famous video game developer made some black and white and freaking. I can't think of his name. British guy. Anyway,
Lord British.
Yeah. No. Ah, crap. People are yelling it. Is the chat room caught up to me yet? They probably know. Anyway, that guy. He has one of those accounts, and he had all these ideas for a game, and one of them got made. Like, that's his whole thing, is to make these crazy... Peter Molyneux. He has this tendency to go bananas with his ideas, and anytime he talks on screen, people are like, okay, Peter, dial it back about 10 decades before we're ever doing that. But then oftentimes, his predictions are kind of true and also kind of interesting. Well, this fake one had these really great ideas for a couple of games, and they ended up making it. It's crazy. Anyway, that's a little side note for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The bane of my existence.
Ah, yes. Tom Hardy, a.k.a. Bane.
Yeah.
His acting job will be more severe, probably, because he's dropped out of shooting Suicide Squad. Snarky 30 gave us this one. Hollywood Reporter saying that, no Tom Hardy in Suicide Squad. He's going to be shooting on the movie called The Revenant, which ran long. Actually, he's been shooting on that. Mm. And it bumped into the press tour for Mad Max. Hardy would have played Rick Flagg, the leader of the group of the DC comic villains, and offers already out to Jake Gyllenhaal, though, to replace Hardy in the role, because those guys are exactly the same.
Identical.
Suicide Squad's supposed to begin shooting in Toronto mid-April for an August 5th, 2016 release.
See, actually, with some knowledge of the comic, Rick Flagg is actually probably a better fit for Jake Gyllenhaal. However, I was more interested in seeing what Tom Hardy's take would have been than I am a better fit, if that makes sense. Because
Suicide will be more severe.
That's right. We must kill Batman. Oh, wait. He was actually in Batman. Anyway.
How cool is it that the guy that played Bane
yeah.
had to drop out of the Suicide Squad movie
yeah.
because he's Mad Max? Like, freaking rad. It's so cool.
It is cool. I don't know what to think about this. I was excited about it. I still am, I guess. And I assume the other cast members, Will Smith, and I forget the other confirmed people, are all still involved still. It has a lot of potential. It's a really interesting set of characters and a really great comic as its inspiration and a chance for DC to kind of get out of the two shadows of Superman and Batman a little bit and do something different and compete with Marvel on that end. I don't know that losing Hardy is all that bad, except he's just very compelling to me. So as a moviegoer, this is slightly disappointing.
Now, are they still going to have Oprah in this? Is that something I heard?
Oh, yeah. She's in charge of, forget the character she plays.
Amanda Baller.
That's it. I think that's still on the...
And you get a superpower.
Yeah.
Let's see.
And you get a bomb in your neck. And you get a bomb in your neck. Everybody gets bombs in their neck.
Look under your neck.
There's talk of DiCaprio in a couple of these rumors taking his place. I don't know about that. Well, anyway. It should be... it doesn't say anything about Oprah anymore, but it does say Will Smith, Margot Robbie, Jared Leto, or Leto, depending on which side of the country you live on, Jay Courtney, and Cara... Evangeline, they're all in still. It says nothing about Oprah, so I don't know what's happening there. Anyway, exciting news for anyone who cared about that movie. We'll see.
Kilo Charlie 12 tipped us off to the story of 7-year-old Liam Porter, who was born without part of his left arm, and last Saturday walked out of a movie theater, was met by stormtroopers, taken to a room at the theater where he was presented with a new prosthetic in the style of a stormtrooper, along with one of their helmets. John Peterson had used a 3D printer to make the arm. Peterson had joined the online group eNable that shares professional prosthetic designs among 3D printer owners and then puts them in touch with people who need printed versions.
Hold on. Are you telling me there are people online who are actually doing nice things for people?
I don't remember if it was on Current Geek, but I know on one of the shows I do, we talked about the first guy to do this, and apparently it's kicked off a whole group of people who are like, yeah, I got 3D printers. I want to use
it. Trevor Hart, I need a gift for my twin sister, and it says I can pay with my...
What the heck was that?
That was my fault, sorry.
I think that was a Discover card commercial. Is that right?
We don't have a sponsor. What's going on? Yeah, that's really cool. Like, that's a cool way to use your power for good in this world, and I don't know. I don't feel like we get enough stories like this here. But my question is it a functioning? I guess it would have to be worth all this trouble, but it's a good working prosthetic.
A cup of coffee. His other, especially with kids, it's hard to keep them in prosthetics, just like clothes, right? Because they grow out of them. Yeah. And the parents were saying in this Augusta article that he had one before, but it wasn't very useful. So this one, I think it cost $300 to print compared to like $9,000 that these things can cost sometimes. And it's a lot more functional than the one he had before.
Well, if that's the case, now add to that, he's going to show up at school with the most badass thing ever.
Yeah. Right?
Like, this is
the thing.
Yeah.
He could be ridiculed for it, but when he shows up, he's like, guys, I have a robot arm from Star Wars. And then everyone's going to be like, someone cut off my arm.
Right, exactly.
One kid's got his arm in his sleeve, like, that's impossible.
Actually, I got a question for Rob about this is a slightly tangential, sort of non connected thing here. But
I get tangential questions from my students daily.
Oh, good.
So.
All right. Well, you're in the high school environment. You see what's going on. What is the, is it like, just from your observation, and I don't know how much of this you would even see, but are things less bully-ish than they used to be at school? Like, are people actually responding to this idea that, yeah, we should do that less, and boys are less, kids are less jerks to each other and stuff like that?
It's just become less overt, I would say, in a classroom. And plus, I'm just a jerk teacher. That if anyone is calling, like even today, I had I coach robotics, and one of my robotics kids. You can imagine they're not the worst. They have decided to build robots as a hobby.
Sure.
But he said just an off-colored comment to another student, and I just lit him up.
Yeah,
and even like the best of the kids, I just let it leave. But online, it's a thing. In between classes, when adults aren't around, it's an off campus thing. Like at our school, fighting isn't a big deal, but it's the kind of thing where the kids will look at each other and then they'll know that 3:01 p.m. they're getting off campus to slug it out.
I have a psychologist sister who suggests that they actually need. She's not obviously a proponent of bullying, but she says kids need a way to learn why that's bad. And the only way to really learn that is sometimes to go through it either as the bullied or the bullier. And she has a lot of interesting thoughts about how it does, as much as we can now make it a more of a surface thing where your class is more controlled and kids are less overt about it. Like you said, they subvert into these areas online or whatever to do the same thing. And her point is, that this will probably never entirely go away. It doesn't mean it's good, and it means you should light them up because that's where they're learning. Mm-hmm. But I find it fascinating that it's almost they've been forced to take it underground a bit because they can't help but not do it. Like they have to still do it because it's part of their DNA to compete, to figure out what it means to be the one everybody likes, the one everyone hates, like all of that social stuff, which can lead to real trouble for some kids, but for the most part evens us out into adults eventually. It's interesting to see it go to these darker corners where we perhaps have less purview.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Like teenagers in general just do have a lot of weird brain chemistry going on. They turn into like they don't know what's happening, but they turn into these weird freaky reptiles. And I always assume that if ever given any decision at all, they will make the wrong one.
Yeah.
I just assume that. Whenever they make the right one, I let them know. I congratulate them, shake their hand, and send them on their way. But I assume that they're gonna lie. I assume that they're lying pretty much always, and that they are doing the wrong thing no matter what.
Yeah. Maybe they'll take a swing at their teacher.
Maybe they will. Maybe, yeah. Speaking of bullying, does fighting happen in high school? Well, not so much, but I did get slugged in the face once.
Wow.
By a kid.
But it wasn't in the teacher's lounge by
You know. Nope.
No, he said by a kid.
Okay,
by a kid.
I didn't get selected to the face once by another teacher.
Brilliant.
But I had it coming.
I did join Teacher Fight Club, so I guess I guess
and
I
it was
probably
by yourself. You just like,
yeah. And now you're talking about it, which is the one rule you had to break. Nice job.
So when you got selected to the face, was it just like a typical kid acting out that escalated, or was there something behind it?
No, it was a kid that had some other issues, and he was wound up, and I didn't notice it at the time, and all I wanted to do was to be like, dude, don't wear your hat. You're not supposed to wear your hat today. And I accidentally embarrassed him, and he was wound up, and he already had weirdo issues, and I was like, whoa, sorry, man. And I walked out of the hallway, and he didn't have any of it. He just followed me out in the hallway and punched me in the face.
Wow.
At which point, I stood there, and I was like, all right, let's get this over with. Yeah. 2 shots in the jaw, and then I was like, I'm leaving, man.
Yeah. What, he hit you in the jaw twice?
Twice.
Dude. So what happened to this kid? Take him right down to the principal's building?
I mean, like principal's office is like, oh man, you said a bad word, or you're disrespectful in class. No, he was then placed into an alternative educational environment.
Ah,
we'll say.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, this is great. We're getting
taken away by stormtroopers.
It's the underbelly of modern education. This is fantastic. Well, I'm glad you weren't.
He was the droid they were looking for.
Well, I'm glad you weren't wearing Google Glass at the time, because that would have been bad.
So wait a minute. You guys did not seem very excited about the 3D printed arm thing.
It's awesome. I think it's rad.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We just got distracted.
It's cool because
I considered sawing off my own arm.
Sorry, we got real for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was expecting this to go with Rob talking about like making Iron Man arms for people. Yeah. Or something.
Well, he is the coach of the robotics team.
That's true. And I'm actually currently learning how to program Arduinos so that I can make my Iron Man suit fly, I'm hoping.
That's amazing.
I see.
That's
or at least
amazing.
Open.
Or open.
That's
or
amazing.
Lights can blink.
That's totally cool. When
you
email
that flying
robotics thing, coach, is that because you guys compete? Or why the title coach? Okay, is that the main reason?
All right. Yeah, we're in the middle of our build season. Every year they display some rules to whatever the game of the year is. And this year they're stacking up recycling bins.
Oh, so not human killing.
No.
All right, good.
No, maybe next year. I mean, we're hoping. I've got some ideas.
Yeah.
But then we have 6 weeks to design and build a robot. By we, I mean our worker bee students. And I'm the one that's like, build a robot. And they're like, we're building a robot. I'm like, build a robot harder. Yeah. And then after 6 weeks, we put them all into an arena and we compete.
Cool.
That's pretty neat.
How many girls are
on the team, if any?
Much more than you would expect.
Oh, good.
We have, so 2. No, I'm just kidding. We have about 100 students, and I would say it's probably 40, 60 girls to
guys.
Wow.
That's pretty good. That's great to hear. I mean, we didn't have anything like this program in school, but I'm pretty sure it would have been way heavier, dude, in my high school. I'm sure of that. So that seems like progress on some, you know, surface evidence sort of way. I like that. That's great.
And Bill, am I right in suspecting that you have 3D printers?
I do not, actually.
No? Okay.
Yeah. I have a laser cutter. It has a vinyl laser cutter.
Yeah. No, I have a
lots of other tools and implements. But.
Yeah. I do have a degree in 3D computer art and modeling, but when I need something 3D printed, I outsource it to Shapeways. Because they're really good at that.
Yeah. And you can include costs and stuff like that into the build and everything else. But
definitely, yeah.
Shoot,
I mean,
Shapeways ought to get involved with Enable and just like make designs available for people.
Maybe they are. Who knows?
Oh, that would be really good.
Yeah, maybe they are.
I like that name, Enable. I usually hate the E names, right? Like E.
It's a little awkward.
Email or e-commerce or whatever. But I like that one for some reason. Maybe it's because they're doing good and that's good enough for me. I don't know. Anyway, Google Glass. Hey, don't get punched in the face.
Tuscora let us know that the Google Glass team posted on Google Plus that the Google Glass Explorer program, that's the one you paid $1,500 for the set of glasses, will end Monday, January 19th. Additionally, Ivy Ross, who heads the Google Glass team and her team, will move out of the X Labs and under the supervision of Nest CEO Tony Fadell. They will not become part of Nest. They will still be a Google Glass team. The post only said, quote, you'll likely see future versions of Glass when they're ready, but the rumors are that Intel will power the next version of Glass instead of TI, which kind of stopped making the chip, which is one of the problems they were having with the software on the old Google Glass. And we might see a consumer version of this announced at Google I.O. this year.
I think that's cool. I just feel like a little bad for people who maybe shelled out $1,500. I mean, they're truly helping pioneer this thing. But $1,500 is a lot. You know, and if this next version comes out and it's super slick and way smaller and, you know, better form factor and all the better features and everything else that this thing will potentially have, I'd feel a little, you know, like, oh, I have $1,500 and I will see never see again. You know what I mean? I guess Oculus Rift buyers are having the same remorse because they bought the like SDK1 and it's kind of, or the DK1 and it's kind of terrible now compared to the others. And there's $300 I'll never see again.
That's what you get for being an early adopter. You just kind of have to embrace that when you go for it like that, you know?
True. They've been playing with it and enjoying it for the last couple of years now. So.
Yeah. So when I saw this article, I got to thinking about you, Bill, and some of the stuff you do. Do you foresee a day, this is a little forecasty, but do you foresee a day when augmented reality in a pair of also protective eyewear would be really helpful to remind you of measurements or... you're off by a micron here. You know what I mean? Like something that was smart enough to... Do you think of those kinds of things as being a wave in the future of some sort?
I'm glad you consider my work as accurate at the micron level. Generally, millimeters are pretty good for me.
Yeah.
That would be really neat. I have a pair... I'm not wearing them now, but I have a pair of prescription safety goggles for when I'm in the shop working. And it would be... there's definitely a lot of stuff where if I needed figures or measurements or designs or something, if I could recall them in a way that it just popped up in front of my face, that would be, I don't know how useful it would be, but it would be really neat.
Yeah,
or if your hands are covered in goo.
Sure, but if you look...
yeah, and I don't want to touch a keyboard or something.
But let's say you're looking at a cast of something, and you know from the display is smart enough to know, oh, this is the cast. This is from that 3D model we had. So it's smart enough to recognize the shape and know what's going on and put in there, you know, horizontal and vertical lines that say whatever millimeters high, whatever millimeters tall. And as you shift around, have those move in accordance with where, you know, kind of register with where the gun sits and kind of just be this constant reminder. That stuff would be amazing.
You know, what would be really incredible is an augmented reality pair of glasses where I could look at something and get the dimensions of it instantly.
Oh yes.
That would be extraordinary.
Wow.
Have it just pop up. So I could see, you know, instead of having to go get my dial calipers out and measure the little thing.
Yeah.
Just what is this, the 20th century?
Calipers.
I have a digital pair of dial calipers and the battery died on it. So I don't even use the digital part of it anymore. I just use the lines on it like a caveman.
Yeah. Like you're charting your course in a ship. It's amazing.
Yeah. Just the overlaid dimensions on stuff that I'm looking at would be amazing. Mm. And then I could use it everywhere. I would already know what the dimensions of everything are. I could just look at...
be like Neo looking into the Matrix.
Yeah. And Coach Duran over there, you could have these on and you could tell when some kid's cheating because it would light up and go beep, 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 like Terminator style and point them out.
Actually, I can usually tell when a kid's cheating because they're staring at their crotch. And no one's crotch is that interesting.
No, nor does it have innately the power to tell you the answer to anything. You've got to have something else there. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. When they have safety goggles, I can overlay... dimensions, I will be right there to buy it. And I will pay $1,500.
Sure. Would you pay, but would you pay like $3,000 for it?
Why are you saying $3,000?
I don't know that kind of...
Do you have one?
No, but I'm just saying, I feel like the technology I'm describing is much further down the road than anything glass will do at retail. So I just think that stuff. I mean, you may be able to find... I guess what I'm saying is there'll probably be a consumer-y thing, and then there'll be some kind of other thing that Bill would get that's, you know, professional. It's like me buying a Wacom versus me buying a pad of paper. You know what I mean?
I think that we are going to see a lot more out of Google Glass than we expected. I feel like what Google was doing this whole time has been misunderstood. A lot of people feel like, oh, Google Glass was a failure. It was too expensive. It was wonky. It never worked. And Google never said this was near the final version. They're like, this is a beta. This is how we learn. They learned a lot. They collected a lot of data. They have hired, as far as we know, they've hired Intel. They've definitely struck partnerships with style companies like Diane von Furstenberg. And they're continuing to keep their enterprise program of Google Glass going. So I fully expect the opposite. The internet's basically been saying Glass is dead. Glass is dead. Mm-hmm. No more Glass. They killed it. This is just a, they're trying to spin it like it's not dead, but it's dead. I think it's the opposite. I think Google I.O. probably this year, we're going to see a lot of different versions of Glass. And that's where it's interesting what you're saying, Scott, because I feel like, yeah, there's going to be like a stylish consumer version that does, you know, basic things. And then there's going to be a, like a pro version, and there might be other like enterprise versions. There might be some kind of like, you know, industrial version that helps you with measurements and stuff like that. I think we're going to see an explosion of these things.
Was there ever any, I probably could look this up and I feel dumb for not knowing this, but was there ever any talk about what they would do for people with, you know, heavy prescriptions and things? It feels like it's a thing that's great for somebody with 2020.
Oh yeah, there's already prescription versions of Google Glass.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. So if I before they shut the program down to do the next version, if I had spent $1,500, could I have opted for that to have it? Okay.
You would, and the problem is you'd have to pay for the glasses and then the $1,500 for Google Glass on top of it, right? And I think that has been a problem with Google Glass is people feel like it's way too expensive and it's not consumer friendly. And I feel like the engineering minds of Google are like, yes, of course, that's because it's an open beta.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I don't know why they're charging people $1,500 for it, frankly, but the idea has never been to make it consumer friendly. It's always been research.
I think they probably do it the same. This is, seems like a weird comparison, but it's the same reason Blizzard charges you $60 additional for every character you want to boost to 90, because they're trying to limit, kind of in a weird way, they're trying to limit who's doing it and how often they're doing it.
Yeah.
So to spend $1,500, it's not that they're looking for just rich people to get glasses. I don't mean that, but I mean, if people are going to do it, they're really thinking about doing it. Like, it's a big decision. Even if somebody's got a ton of money, it's still like it's a considerable amount of money. So
yeah, they really want throw this. It in the closet, forget about it.
Yeah, they're going to really use it and play with it. I think that's a strategic thing. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot to be said when you're releasing a product and people say, I really want that. And you're like, well, how much? Mm-hmm. Because we want to know if you really want it.
Yeah. Well,
$1,500 want it?
Yeah. I want it in theory. I've always wanted it in theory. I feel like I should not be an early adopter on this one. So we will see how it all turns out, I suppose.
I'm still throwing all my money at Google Cardboard.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that thing was
worth
cool.
Worth every penny.
Good.
Too pricey for me.
Invest. Invest now. Oh, look at this is.
America scores and wins.
By the way, today's pop quiz, where we ask you guys a bunch of hard questions about areas of your expertise, is brought to you by Nerdtacular.com, where there's a brand new post.
Nerdtacular.com, Scott. Yeah,
let me tell you more. It is our annual event for the Frog Pants Network and fans of all the things we do. And last year was a huge success. This year, we want to try to duplicate and exceed that. Ticket information is there about when you might see actual tickets available. You can reserve rooms already. There's plenty to do. There's plenty of information. And as we move forward, we'll have plenty more. Nerdtacular.com is the place to go if you want to meet some of your favorite producers and probably Bill again, because he'll be there. Maybe even Rob. Maybe Rob will be there again. I don't know. One way or the other, it's all there for the taking. All right. Let's get to the pop quiz. Bill, we're going to start with you.
Oh, my goodness.
Because you're the returner here, and this will give your brother a chance to kind of see what the crap this is all about. Your trivia is Skyrim trivia.
Okay, well, it's a good thing I've played like 90 hours of it in the last month.
Yeah, you've been back. You've been all back in, I've noticed. So,
I've been back in, yeah.
This will be great.
That and Destiny.
Man, that game just doesn't seem to want to get old. I love that game. All right, here you go. I'm ready to play again. Let's see, number one question. Sorry, I had to get back in here. Here it is. Which dragon attacks Helgen at the beginning of the game?
Alduin.
You are... correct. Nicely done. Oh, that's the sound if you get it right. If you get it wrong. And Tom scores it really weird. I should have mentioned that. Next question. What city is the Thieves Guild based in?
Riften.
Oh my gosh. He's
spent a lot of time in Riften.
You're going to tear this up. What is the highest level of Draugr warrior?
Oh, the Draugr Deathlord. I dressed up as him.
You are correct.
Technically, the Draugr Deathlord Overlord, actually.
There you go. All right, fair enough.
We're going to half point, or a half point for that.
All right, what city in Skyrim is also known as the City of Kings?
Uh-oh. I'm going to guess Solitude.
You are incorrect. It is Windhelm. Windhelm.
Windhelm. That's the bear one.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of it. I just call it the bear one.
The bear one has a claw there.
Yeah.
The quest, the Golden Claw, speaking of claws, is found in what Skyrim dungeon?
Oh no. Golden Claws.
First one.
No, I don't know the name of the dungeon. It's probably a Nordic word like Skolkenvjorg.
Well, is that your answer?
Yes.
It is incorrect. Damn. It is Bleak Falls Barrow.
Which in some Nordic languages is referred to as Skolkenvjorg. So yeah. I'm going to give him a half point.
All right.
Nice. All right. Third to last question. What level in lockpicking do you need to get the wax key perk?
Oh, no. I didn't put any points into that.
I didn't either.
Let's go with, like, 50? I think it's 50.
Wow. You're dead on. 50 is the correct answer. Jeez. Nice guess. Tom, anything weird there?
You actually lose a quarter point for guessing.
All right. Nice. Second to last question. How many schools/types of magic are there in the game of Skyrim?
Oh, man. There's a lot.
List them.
I would actually know these.
I'm not going to list them all. Seven. I'm not guessing, Tom. I know it's seven.
It's five.
You get a quarter point for being certain that you were wrong.
Destruction, alteration, conjuration, restoration, and an illusion for the record there.
See, I went all sword and board.
Yeah, you did. So. Like some kind of crazy person. All right, how about this one? Final question. Stormcloak or Imperial?
Stormcloak.
You are... correct. Whatever you said was going to be correct. It's kind of a gimme there. Nicely done. Yes. Very well done, actually.
In fact, I do believe, well, I mean, someone I may have known who's associated with me may have killed the Emperor.
Oh, gosh, really? Wow. Yeah. All right.
That's
admitted to murder.
Take that to your grave. All right, Rob, it's your turn.
Do I get video game questions, too?
Nope. It's Iron Man movie trivia.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
You're a fan, I know. Okay. So here goes.
Iron what?
In the Iron Man movies, what does Jarvis stand for?
Just a really very intelligent system.
So close. It is just a rather very intelligent system. I'll throw it to Tom. Tom,
wow, you suck.
Do you want to do anything with that?
He gets 0.8.
Okay, it seems real close to me.
0.8 for that.
Yeah. That was pretty good. All right, next one.
Patrick,
what character in the 2008 Iron Man movie has the 1966 Iron Man cartoon theme as their phone ringtone?
That would probably be Phil Coulson.
You are incorrect. It is James Rhodes. Rhodey had it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's a weird song. I meant to have it handy and I didn't get it. Anyway,
okay. Nope.
What is Happy Hogan's favorite TV show?
It would be Downton Abbey.
You are correct.
Yeah. He thinks it's elegant.
You're right. Nicely done. What is the only Iron Man movie not to feature any songs from AC/DC?
Not one.
Yeah.
One is out.
Oh.
Let's see. Three has that blue song.
I thought you meant not one song.
Of the modern Marvel movies, right?
Yeah. Yes, correct. Yeah. No other.
Three is a Christmas one, but I don't think it has.
Only me.
I'm going three on this.
You're
going
to say three? You are correct. Iron Man 3 is correct. Nicely done. When you said not one, I thought you meant, not one song? I thought that's what you meant. Nicely done. That was a little sneaky. What kind of metal is poisoning Tony Stark in Iron Man 2?
Palladium.
Jeez, look at you, dude. The nerd of the school over there. All right.
Is that a real?
That's a real metal.
Just making sure.
Is it an actual one? All right.
Rob has the periodic table of elements in his wallet.
The Palladium is also a place I used to go dancing when I was a teenager. There was this local place called the Palladium, and there were lots of girls there. I remember.
We had
the poisonous Palladium.
We had a local newspaper called the Palladium Times.
Oh, really? Were they good?
They're not around anymore.
All right.
That means anything.
Tells us all we need to know. All right, how about this one? How many post-credit stinger scenes has Tony Stark / Iron Man been featured in? So Tony Stark either as himself or as Iron Man.
He was in Iron Man 1. He was originally with Eye Patch Guy, Nick Fury. He was in Iron Man 2, where he's interviewed again by Nick Fury. In 3, he was talking to the Hulk guy, Bruce Banner. Right. In the Avengers, he was Shawarma Ng.
All right.
But was he in any of the other Marvel ones? I don't think so. I'm going to say 4.
You're going to say 4. You would be incorrect. It's 5. There was one more. He was in the original Captain America 2011 with General Ross. It's too bad. All right. Second to last question.
So sad.
What version of the Iron Man suit does Tony Stark use in the final battle of the Avengers?
The, let's see. The Iron Man, well, he begins the battle with the Iron Man suit Mark 6, but it is damaged, and then switches to the Iron Man Mark 7, even though it's a prototype. And it's also the one that I have built out of fiberglass in my closet at home.
Nice. You've got extra points, Tom. Come on.
Is it right or not, Scott?
He's totally right.
We don't know. You haven't played the ding.
Totally right. Totally right. Yep. You got it.
Yeah, definitely. A quarter point. Quarter point bonus for the extra.
Nicely done.
For spending roughly 400 hours of my life building it. I get it.
It's like Skyrim time. All right. Your final question. How have you started making your replica Hulk? Have you started making your replica Hulk Buster armor yet?
No, but I have been reading several forum posts on the replica prop forum about it.
So doing research.
I've been researching.
Yeah. All right. Well, you both.
I lack the garage space for what people are estimating is anywhere between an 8 and 15 foot tall costume.
Oh gosh, really?
Wow.
That's out of control. All right.
And
well,
he's been told under no uncertain terms that he is not to be making that in my already cramped shop space.
Ah, I see. I wondered if I sensed a tone of that happening there. You both did really well, but Tom is the final judge. How did they do?
Wow, this may be the closest we've ever had. I might even say they're almost twin scores. Bill with 6 and Rob with 6.05.
Whoa, my gosh.
The SAT's all over again.
Yeah.
It's all of high school over again.
Nth Mike in the chat room says they've got a correction. Nth Mike, what is the correction, sir? Hold on, let's see. I can't find it. He actually did it. What does that mean? I'm trying to find it. Scott read it wrong. What are you talking about? Objection, they're saying. No, Scott. Hulk, what? They're just saying that there was it was in the Hulk movie, but it's still fine because you said 4, I said 5. It's still the answer, yeah. All right, there you go. Rob Duran, everybody. Hey! Way to go, everybody. Nicely done. It's time for this.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
This used to be a show. It's now a segment. It's called Forecast. It's where we try to guess what the future of technology or other things in our life might be. Near future, far-flung future. I did today's, and it will be that we will fabricate nearly everything with advanced 3D printing by the year 2035. And I mean everything. If you need to go, I don't know, your trash compactor breaks, you will be able to essentially make one, or at least maybe the parts to repair the one you have until you need an entirely new one. And when you need that, you'll be able to make that as well. And the only true industries left in the world will be those who design the products you make yourself and give you the schematics for that are then pooped out as a 3D print, or the people who make the material from which you're printing from, which will be metals and, you know, silicone and other things that we're not currently doing now with 3D printers. Thoughts? Am I wrong? Bill, you're a fabricator of sorts.
I am.
You think this stuff's close?
You guys see the 3D printer that does carbon fiber and fiberglass?
Yeah. Pretty cool.
That thing is so cool.
They showed that off at CES this year. Also showed off that sugar one again that does the sugar 3D stuff, which is pretty impressive, although I hear it tastes like crap.
I did some work at Cornell University a couple of years back where we took MRI images of knees, and if your knee meniscus was toast, I imagine a lot of people have that kind of issue, we took a gel type stuff. We stuck cells in it and 3D printed a new knee meniscus.
Wow.
And that you could let the cells then grow into real cartilage and eventually stick into a person.
The cells would go into the material and then the material would what? Just biodegrade while the cells grew?
Pretty much, yeah. It was just like the shape is what you needed and the cells needed a place to be happy and live. Mm-hmm. And they would grow into that shape. A couple of weeks, and then you have your custom printed knee parts.
Yeah.
If you don't, of course, My plan, I don't need that. I have an entire duplicate set of parts, but not everyone has that.
Right, right. You're like a Klingon. All your you have redundant organs.
Yeah.
Called a Bill. Rob Durant suit of organs.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly the biomedical field will benefit greatly from this, like, especially when it comes to replacement limbs and, you know, hips and joints and things. It seems like that's really where a lot of that rubber will meet the road, but it seems to me like it's just going to get better and more refined to the point that we can make just about anything we need to make.
I think it's definitely on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. Like, how soon till you, so Bill, you make a space gun for somebody. How soon till someone just make their own space gun based on your design? I mean, that sounds bad, but maybe not. Maybe your designs are sought after and they're paying you big money for your designs.
Yeah, it's exactly. I could do something similar to that right now. I have a buddy who's an engineer, and on the side, he builds props. He does all of his prop design in CAD and then puts those designs on Shapeways. And then people show up and just buy them from Shapeways. And he marks it up a fair amount so that he makes some money from it. And then they get this thing mailed to them from Shapeways. It's not at the point where it's a finished piece yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's blank white nylon plastic, but they have to go in and paint it and finish it themselves. But that's kind of neat where the maker kind of just becomes the designer and then the printer facilitates the fabrication, which is kind of neat. Mm-hmm. But I also think that when people like, oh my God, no more prop makers, there will always be room for like the sort of cottage industries and the craftsmen, and people want stuff that's handmade. People still will always want that, I think.
Yeah, there's at least things that can be manufactured now that people still want handmade versions of.
Exactly, yeah. At least I'm banking on that for the rest of my career.
Well, I remember not that long ago, maybe early 90s, there was a lot of talk that electronic music was a very bad thing for musicians, because what it meant was, in their mind anyway, that eventually computers would be able to just poop out music. And they kind of can, I suppose, in random ways or whatever. But that, if anything, the electronic music, I don't want to call it a revolution, but our evolution into areas of, you know, big beats and crazy raves and, you know, whatever, have spawned even more careers for human beings than we would have ever had without electronic music. People want a guy like Deadmau5 to make a song. They don't want a computer to make one. It lacks feeling and humanity and whatever else we put in there. I guess you could still make the argument that one day AI would get better and good enough to truly create some some procedurally generated music that would blow our minds.
But then what's the problem? Like, people are like, it'll be sucky music because computers will make it. Like, well, then don't buy it.
It just
don't support it.
Well,
then, right?
I think
if the computers get good enough to make better music than everybody else, then we all have amazing music. If we like it, why is that a problem?
It's not a problem. It's only a problem because in the short term, you're thinking, well, if that happens quickly, like let's say electronic cars or electric cars take over quickly. Well, then that has major repercussions for the oil industry and entire countries' economies and, you know, all that stuff. Just a huge collapse. And that's why it doesn't. It's why it takes forever for this stuff to transition or to even become a thing. And I would say
And then things don't go away that you think will go away. Look at vinyl.
Yeah, exactly.
Vinyl actually had an increase in sales. We had like a huge sale of vinyl. When I say vinyl, I don't mean vinyl toys. I mean records, albums.
I have like 8 rolls of vinyl over there. I mean, it's vinyl stickers, but
you should put it into albums, man.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess I can just see the short-term freak out is like, oh no, you'll be able to print anything. Yeah. Well, then what am I good for? But then, you know, I thought a lot of people when I was starting out in digital art, everybody was like, oh, these Wacoms and these computers and this stuff, it's just going to replace talent. You won't need any talent. It'll just happen. And that's not true at all. It's turned out to be completely wrong. It's just a tool.
Really excited to see as this advances further and better. I'm just really excited to see what other jobs spring out from it, what other crafts, what other, where can people take it, really, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, when especially from having to do it in the manual way, what do you use that extra capacity for, right?
Yeah, I'm excited to see what it turns into. So,
yeah,
bring it
up. By the way, Nocturna in the chat room says, so the world is going to be plastic? I mean, a lot of the 3D printers do extruded plastic right now, but that is not all they can do. They can do metal. Yeah. I mean, Scott just mentioned they can do sugar. Mm-hmm. They, do food. They can do all kinds of things.
Some are spinning glass and doing things with all sorts of materials. It's that has never been an issue for me, that we would be stuck with polymers the rest of our lives with 3D printing. That's just the thing we start with. It's easily meltable. It's relatively cheap. You can spool it. Like, there's all that stuff. And we're not thinking, you know, that much further ahead about it. But it's like anything else. Like, everybody thought, I mean, I hate to bring up this age-old potato from the 40s, but people were convinced that radio would be destroyed and murdered by television.
Right.
And it went kind of not that way at all. And not only that, but there's such a creative outlet with radio and audio now that you could argue that it's kind of a more brave medium. There's a place for that, and there always will be a place for that, because it turns out it's actual kind of art unto itself. And TV didn't just automatically mean, well, now that we can see stuff, what do we need just audio for? I think a lot of things turn out that way. So I figure
when the wheel came along, people are like, this is going to ruin walking. nobody will walk anymore. We got this wheel. I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's kill your horse now.
It's a human thing to do. It protects your immediate survivability, but in the long term usually doesn't work out that way. So what but Tom, you said it exactly right. This 3D printing and the advancements we make with it will free the minds of creative people so that all of the drudgery of it is gone, and what's left is just the pure creativity. And then real business happens. Then real cool stuff happens. So you're fine, Bill. Don't worry, dude. You're covered.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I'll be excited when the 3D printers can make tea Earl Grey hot.
Yes.
Me too.
Nice reference. We did get one email this week. Came to us at currentgeek@gmail.com. Keep those coming, please. You can also call, leave a voicemail as well, 801-471-0462. Brent wrote in, says, Dear Tom, Scott, and guests, why does everyone love Doctor Who so much? I just don't get it. What's wrong with me, Brent?
I've never watched it.
So I haven't either. Yeah, that's all you've seen. Tom loves it. But
I mean, it's like, first of all, Brent, not everyone has to like the same things. It's okay.
He's feeling the pressure, not to like the same things. He's feeling nerd pressure right now. He's feeling it.
I know. Don't let it get to you.
Yeah.
I have a friend, a really good friend, one of my best friends in the world, does not like Star Wars.
Whoa.
Oh.
Oh, I know who that is.
Yeah.
Is that Roger?
Nope.
No.
Not
Roger. No, he likes Star Wars. Who am I thinking of? I know who it is, though.
Well, it's CJ. She edited the Sword and Laser anthology.
Right.
People are like, what?
Right.
And she doesn't like Star Wars. I've outed her now.
I know some people like that.
Yeah, she's just like, she doesn't hate it or anything. She's not like on a campaign against it. She's like, it's just not my thing. I don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, and when I found that out, when I first got to know her, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But you're so good in other ways. But you know what? Like, yeah, it's just not everybody likes everything.
Yeah, they don't have to. When my daughter, she's 20, or met her boyfriend, now husband, 22. They got married just this last year. And when he told me he'd never seen a single episode or movie or anything to do with Star Trek ever, I kind of had a moment there, you know?
Oh, no.
I kind of went, oh, what
if... It's not going to work.
What have we done?
I withdraw my approval.
I love him, Daddy. And they ran, you know. But no, I've become okay with
got
it because
your phaser out. We're like, listen, buddy.
He has basically said to me, because this is a different case where he doesn't know if he likes it or not because he hasn't watched it. He just figured it was a nerd show. And I said, well, look, we'll sit down sometime and we'll watch some of it. And he agreed. So, you know, maybe what needs to happen. Maybe one of your friends who really likes it, Brent, just needs to sit down with you and, you know, see if he can convince you. And if it's still not working, I think it's fine not to have to be that guy who has to like everything all your friends like. It's totally fine.
My wife doesn't like Monty Python.
Oh.
Right?
It's really hard.
Yeah. You know, it's not going to work out.
It worked out great.
I've been trying to convince everyone I know that they should love Highlander as much as I do, but I've given up on that.
Is it okay that I love the Highlander concept as much as you do, but I don't like the actual execution as much as you do?
That's very fair.
Fair enough.
Some of the execution.
I'm trying to think, like, what's the thing that I don't like that everybody else likes?
Yeah, do you have that?
I'm sure I do. I just can't think of it right now.
You have a pretty good taste.
IPAs, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Bill and I are the only ones in this city right now not wearing a Seahawks uniform.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, you like Independence Day. I hate it, but that's me hating it. Yeah, what? I can't. Yeah, you are. Don't you like Independence Day? You like all kinds of disaster movies, Tom. I'm trying to think of that.
Oh, I thought you meant July 4th.
No, not the day. No, the movie.
Like, I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
It's like, it's all right. I mean, you know,
dress up as Uncle Sam.
I'm not jingoistic or anything, but I enjoy a good holiday. No, no, no.
Oh, yeah. No, I love Independence Day and all its flaws. Yeah. I am not going to pretend it doesn't have them.
It has many flaws, and you like them. You're warts and all.
And I love 2012. Sure. I love all that stuff.
Stuff's terrible.
Yeah. Hey, watch the world burn. That's a good night. Give me some popcorn.
We'll have to think more about that, what things Tom doesn't like that the rest of the nerdverse likes, and I can't honestly think of much. You're pretty in there. You're in deep.
You know what my secret shame is I'm not really a hardware guy.
Oh, like
I don't really love, like, people love, like, I as Akhtar loves playing around with hardware, like putting together different pieces of hardware. I just want the hardware to do my bidding. I don't want to mess with it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that.
I'm more of a software guy. I'll fiddle with software all day long, but I hate having to, like, mess with the hardware.
But we all had our period, like, let me finish that thought. I had a moment in my mid-20s, I'd say, where I wanted to build everything. So if I was making a computer or helping people with computers, I loved it. I couldn't wait. And it's like, okay, let's get a new motherboard. Let's get this thing. And I just love making it work. And then if it broke, it was like a great failure because then I learned and I'd keep going. And now I want zero to do with that. I want just stuff to work and run the software I want.
That's me right now, yeah.
Yeah. But you had that. You went through that stage, right, Bill?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We would build computers together.
And cars.
And cars. We rebuilt a couple of cars.
That's amazing. Now,
and actually, with my car, exactly. If anything happens to it, I just take it to a guy, and I'm like, "Could you? I'm gonna walk away, and when I come back, if it's working, that would be great."
Yeah.
So yeah. I
kind of miss feeling that way. I don't miss it because I kind of hate it now, but I kind of miss when I liked it. Like, I see Nick doing that. I see kids playing Minecraft and feeling that way about building something. And I sometimes go, oh, I should. And then I go, no, I shouldn't.
I've never liked it. My dad, I remember my dad tried to get me into model car building.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, if you get the snap together ones, I guess.
Wow.
And then maybe I could just watch you build it?
Kind of. It's kind of like make him build half of it.
Party animal. Yeah. If you guys want to send your own emails in, ask us these kinds of interesting questions, you sure can. Again, currentgeek@gmail.com or our phone number 801-471-0462. And that does it for the show. The Duran brothers, everybody. Duran Duran over there.
Yeah.
Let's tell people what's up. Bill, I know you're always got something going on. Anything you'd like to tell folks about?
Sure do. I just put out an ebook, the third in the Foamsmith trilogy. Mm. Got to go get them all over on punishprops.com. All about making foam armor out of foam floor mats. Mm. So worth going and checking out and possibly purchasing.
I love the term Foamsmith. I've always liked
it. Yeah, I'm going to have to copyright that. What do you, trademark that? I'm going to have to do that.
You can. Chinbeard on Twitter, of course. Rob, anything in your world you'd like folks to know about? How to follow you?
We, my wife and I have a Facebook page called Duran Clan Creations. I'm currently gearing up for the Emerald City Comic Con. I'm making a Boba Fett helmet. Actually, I have that next door. I'm molding that thing. And I'm upgrading my Iron Man Mark 7, previously mentioned, armor for that event.
Nice. Yeah. That's very cool. I didn't even think about that. That's a good thing you could do is upgrade your armor.
Yeah.
Get as much out of that stink bag as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, excellent. Where are you on Twitter so people can follow you?
Smidge McDuff.
There you have it. Tom Merritt, anything going on your side of the world?
Just reminding people that we're trying to get to our next milestone for the Daily Tech News Show Patreon, which will bring Scott on as a regular contributor on the show and Veronica Belmont as well. Yeah. So head on over to patreon.com/acedetect. It's ACEDTECT.
Nice. I would just remind people nerdtacular.com is a great place to go. And yes, I am excited about that because it means I get my tech on if I can get on DTNS. And I like to do that occasionally. Thank you all for listening and being here. Be it live or later. It doesn't matter. We'll take you either way you come. Don't forget to go to our website, currentgeek.com. All our links are there, currentgeek.reddit.com. That's going to do it. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Oh, me and Tom on Twitter, Ace Detect and Scott Johnson. Find us there. That'll do it for us. For me, for Tom, and for our guests, we'll see you next time.
Hi, and welcome back to Legal Geek. This week, we update one of the more compelling copyright law stories of 2014, that being the ongoing saga for cord-cutting pioneer Aereo against the broadcast networks in court. Back in June, before Nerdtacular, this segment reviewed the Supreme Court decision that deemed that Aereo's subscription service that intercepts broadcast signals with mini antenna was copyright infringement against those networks. Aereo was defiant in response to the Supreme Court decision, indicating it still had legal theories and arguments to rely upon. More specifically, Aereo argued that Section 111 of the Copyright Act would provide a compulsory license that had to be granted by the networks, just like for cable TV providers protected under this section. The U.S. Copyright Office refused to recognize such a right to a compulsory license in July. In late October, that judge ruled similarly that Aereo and other web providers are not entitled to the cable company protections of Section 111, like the right to force a compulsory license on the broadcast networks. To put it simply, the judge ruled that even though the Supreme Court deemed that the public performance requirement for copyright infringement was met by Aereo's service in a similar manner as it would have been for cable companies, that does not mean Aereo is actually a cable company. Instead, this decision confirmed the many years of case law, holding that web companies like Aereo are not entitled to all specialized cable company protections and copyright law. And with that, Aereo's last stand failed, and a preliminary injunction stands now against Aereo, at least as it pertains to rebroadcasting currently airing television shows. Aereo is now auctioning its web television technology under bankruptcy law to help pay their bills, as $95.6 million of venture capital has dried up to a mere $3.6 million due to all this litigation. It is clear that Aereo itself as an entity is waving the white flag and monetizing assets in bankruptcy to have money left over to finish litigation and pay damages if necessary. The bottom line is, Aereo is effectively dead as expected. If companies like this want to change the laws going forward, lobbying Congress will be the better avenue for change rather than fighting precedents in court. Thanks for listening. Please provide feedback and legal-themed questions as segment suggestions to me on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.